Moncrief on News Talk.
We are talking about the phenomenon that is FOMO, the fear of messing up. Why are more teenagers struggling with it? Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of Tough Love Podcast, joins me now. Good afternoon, Stephanie.
Hi, Fionnuala. Nice to talk to you.
So this idea of FOMO, fear of messing up as opposed to missing out, that's probably the one we're more familiar with. Where did this even come from?
Well, I think it's just, it's interesting. I mean, these little terms take up, don't they? And they kind of, they're useful because they do give people an opportunity to focus on something that's a little bit maybe nebulous or a little bit fleeting. And I think it's quite useful because we're very aware of it in our work with young people and indeed, you know, even young adults. We would notice that there is this, you know, fear of messing up kind of shows up in different ways with them. It would be, they would be the procrastinators, the ones who keep putting things off, the ones who kind of withdraw from things and say, oh, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. And really the dynamic that's going on is they're less interested in trying. You know, they're kind of afraid of the trying that we all understand in things. You try it out, maybe you're not good, then you learn more and you go forward and you get a bit better. But sometimes what happens is that the sort of risk that they feel, there's a kind of a risk to doing things, a risk to trying things, as and they go into the kind of withdrawal mode. So that's when we see it in anxiety as well with them. But I would look for it, especially with avoidance, with procrastination. And it's quite associated, which is kind of interesting. It's associated with very overprotective kind of parenting, but not just overprotecting them from risk, but overprotecting them from failure. In other words, trying to help them not to feel it. That's not necessarily a good thing. We all have to learn to deal with, you know, setbacks, deal with not being able to do it, and being able to kind of check ourselves and find out how to do it better. Do you know how to find our strengths?
So helicopter parenting is a factor, as you're saying.
Yes, I
there.
Think so.
But what else could cause a teenager to become this risk averse? I mean, you're saying this kind of trend is growing. Why is that?
Well, I think it's going. I think it's always been there, but it's not so much that there is more of it, as much as that there is a. I suppose the world is a little more scary sometimes for parents these days. We know a lot more about every risk that there is. So I think from a parenting point of view, people can be a little more extra cautious. But the thing that's often at the back of this is less about fear, if you like, and more about the tendency for parents to overpraise their children. This is another sort of, there's two sides to it, if you like. The parent can overpraise, like, you know, Johnny is wonderful. We've all met them. Johnny is wonderful. You're such a smart guy, smarter than all the other 3-year-olds, smarter than all the other 10-year-olds. Not really. And it's not
Johnny is a melt.
And it's not really a great help, because what's happening with that is you are really giving the child a kind of an inflated sense of themselves without what we would say the commensurate kind of achievement blocks, you know? So instead of saying, hey, Johnny, you worked really well at that. You put effort into that, and that's why you were good. That's why you were a little better than, you know, let's say, this person, because you really put the work in. And when they fail, what you have to do, when they fail, we all trip and fail. We all know as a child, you started on something, you weren't great at it, and you look around you and there's people much better at it. And are they just smarter? So you don't go to the smarts, you go really to the effort, less to the talent. And we know later they have to accept that other people are talented in different areas more than you are, do you know? And you find your own strengths. But in the initial sort of stages of parenting, it's just so important that you teach them to review and think about, what do they need to get better? Think about what you did there. Now, what do we need? I mean, it's kind of the Montessori thinking too, isn't it? You know, you give them the blocks and you let them go at it and you help them to kind of find their way through. So that's what you're really trying to do with kids. And those who don't do it, there's a lot of research around this, that the parents who overpraise and overvalue the child's achievements, they are weakening the child in terms of being able to withstand failure. They also are the children who study less.
Okay. Because that's interesting.
Yeah, because they don't really see the point. Like, everybody already thinks they're brilliant. What's the bloody point in studying? Everybody, all I have to do now is either, you know, stay with what I have, which is everybody thinks I'm great, or study and maybe not do as well. And I end up then sort of in many ways disappointing them.
Yeah.
So this becomes a little bit of a toxic kind of loop. So it's something even myself, I would say, as a parent, you know, it's very easy as, you know, obviously, you know, many years ago, we didn't have this kind of information. And we kind of thought praise was really important. And but overpraise is actually toxic.
But that's what I was going to say when you were talking about that and that practice of overpraising. I'm sure social media has a lot to do with that. I think we're seeing, and I don't want to conflate concepts or anything like that, but even the way gentle parenting is talked about in inverted commas, and that's kind of lost meaning because it's been diluted through social media and everything else. But as you said, there definitely has been this move to, oh no, we should be praising and we should make sure that they know that they are great and your children probably are great, but you can tip the scales.
Confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get it. Like, we don't want to go back to the old ways where, you know, you children are to be seen and not heard. We're not, but we have to find that the pendulum has to swing back. You have to realize what you're doing. You're prepping your child for life, and failure is part of life. Life is a learning curve, and they have to be, I mean, I see so many people, even in school, they will, you know, parents in school, the child has a problem with the teacher, you know, and they're kind of really very quick looking to blame the teacher. I mean, also, and teachers aren't perfect, we get that. But I tell you, you know, they've learned a lot more than the child has. So, I mean, I think it's very useful to help children to navigate it. And sometimes you have to make decisions, but mostly you have to teach them, this is a place where you learn to manage authority. This is a place in your head, you're saying to yourself, this is where they learn to manage the other children and get on with different personality types. You will see that the children who don't get on in school are the people who don't get on in the organization. They're the people who have problems later in different environments. You've got to learn to deal with all these setbacks, the people who don't like you. Yeah, not everybody's going to like you, honey, you know, and you have to step back from that. You have to help them to navigate that. We don't need everybody to like us. And do you like everybody? And think about that. And, you know, help them to break it down. So there's a number of things there that I think are really interesting in fear of messing up. And another really important one, if I may say, Fionnuala, is just teaching your child to be compassionate with themselves around failure. When you mess up or you do something wrong, don't move in to say, oh, no, you're fine, Johnny. Don't even think about that. You're fine. And you're so good at so many other things. Wrong. Instead, you say, okay, Johnny, look, you didn't get that right. That's okay. We all make mistakes. Life is a learning. You know, what are you going to do? Think about it. See if I could, is there anything I need to do to help you? Or is there something else you need to work on those pieces that you're weak on so you can get better?
What if you're a parent, though, that also is potentially suffering with a bit of FOMO? They are also, you know, kind of constantly, the fear of messing up is kind of taking over their lives, and then the child is probably looking at the parent and nearly mirroring that. I suppose that's probably tough to deal with as well.
Well, of course. I mean, we know you're absolutely right, Fionnuala. You know, there's a co-regulation always goes on, you know, between parents and child. Obviously, we know this from early sort of months of life. But also, as life goes on, there's a constant picking up of the parental mood. And whichever parent, doesn't always be mother, it could be, you know, whichever parent is very present, or indeed both. And I mean, I would meet this a lot where, say, for example, the mother is socially anxious or the father is socially anxious, and then you have the child. They haven't really got the skills. Do you know, they haven't got the projection. They haven't got the confidence to step in. So in many ways, the parent's trauma is coming down, or the parent's sort of anxiety is coming down. So, well, you know, I always say it, therapy breaks the cycle. I'm not saying everybody needs therapy, but if you can't see the pattern yourself, and if you can't change the pattern yourself, you probably need the eye of somebody else, somebody clinical, to have a little look. Doesn't take a lot, but it does take sometimes the external listening to catch that.
You've touched on some of them, but what would you say are the biggest signs that a teenager might be struggling with this FOMO?
Well, I think avoiding subjects, or avoiding involvement in sport or whatever it is, you know, or in really committing to things, kind of, you know, saying, well, maybe I'm not sure, I don't know. So they're kind of, you know, stepping back from it all the time, stepping back from things that you kind of know they should be really catching into at this point in, you know, in their life. So I think there's that part. Procrastinating, anxiety, I suppose. And I mean, anxiety can be ever present, but it can be related to many things. I would always look out for this, funny enough. So I think people should look out for it. Is it about comparison? Remember, we also have, you know, added into the fear of messing up is the perfectionism of our social media and of the very visual kind of lives we're living in. Do you know, it's much more everybody, we can see everything. We can see who's great and who isn't. We can see what's right and what's not. Whereas for a lot of, you know, in sort of 20 years ago, there was a lot more imagining what it might be like. But there's kind of a fixedness, isn't there, about the visual. And I think that's very difficult for younger people because it's very clear and very definite. And they're just evolving, you know, gorgeous little young people with their lovely personalities coming through. And there's quite a shape sort of around them, something that's quite fixed, which I think can be very anxiety provoking for them. And I think it can feed into this fear of messing up, feed more into the procrastination, feed more into the anxiety. So I just think we have to really, don't be afraid of them failing. Teach them how to manage it because it's a big, big part of life. I mean, I'm, you know, in my sixth decade of my life, there's still things that don't work out. Mm. Got to be able to deal with that.
Yeah. Can over-involvement in your child's life, though, also contribute to some of their doubts? You know, you're talking about maybe like coercive control.
Well, I wouldn't so much think of it as, I suppose I think of that term, we think of that term more in the partnership way, but I think that sometimes you can have parents living their lives through their children too much. Too involved in their emotional world, not believing in the strength and sort of resilience of their children. And so sort of trying to fill every hole, trying to fill every gap, trying to fill every, make sure they don't feel anything bad. Let them feel it. It's okay.
Yeah.
They're fine. They've got lots of good stuff. Something I often find myself saying to parents is, remember, you're trying to give him everything, him or her, everything that you feel you needed and didn't get. But the big problem here is your child is not starting where you started.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you'll see this with people when they're, you know, they maybe they didn't have a lot of money or they didn't have a lot of, you know, comfort in their childhood. So they're making sure, you know, that the child has security, has lovely dresses, or sorry, she has lovely dresses, or you know what I mean, lovely clothes, lovely holidays. But that overabundance is maybe not matched. It's not going to have the same result. I suppose that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't do it, but it's not going to have the same result as it does in you, because in you it's appeasing a kind of a gap that you had in childhood. But for them, it's just an abundance on top of many more abundances. So you have to be careful. Okay. Of what the outcome is. I don't know, I hope I didn't confuse with that, but I think it's just an important point. Your child is already starting with all the love you have for them and all the security that you have for them. And maybe if you didn't experience that, just remember that. You've Absolutely. Already given them a lot.
Yeah, that's a great point. Stephanie Regan.
And just prep them for failure.
Prep them for failure. Failure is part of life. Life is a learning curve. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of Tough Love Podcast. Thank you so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.